Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, whatever time you may find yourself in, I hope you're feeling groovy. The time has come for you to put reality aside for 30 minutes of your day and step into my world. This is your host, Noel Vargas, and you're tuning in to another session of Film Fanatics here on KPCRadio.com. As a man, it's common knowledge that I like fast cars, beautiful women, and explosions. They just get my blood pumping fast. And I can find these things in a number of movies, but what happens when I want a little bit more from my common action flick? Where do I go when I want something that caters to my foot fetishes? I go to Quentin Tarantino, folks. And today I'm joined once again with Shane Schaefer and new to the Room of Doom, Vivek Patel. By the way, any relation to Matthew Patel, Ramona's first evil ex in the Scott Pilgrim movie?
Yes, that's my cousin.
Brilliant. Well, folks, that's a little bit of comic humor tying into our show from last week. I hope you got a chance to catch that. But here today, Quentin Tarantino. So let's just start off with this. Do you tip waitresses?
Never, as according to Mr. Pink.
I don't know. I mean, the women, they rely on these things. You need, I mean, come on, they're relying on you, man.
Do you tip the people at Burger King, at McDonald's?
Well, no, that's different.
They bring you your food, don't they?
You want to know why they call you Mr. Pink?
What?
Well, the boss said it good. I don't know if I could say it on radio. But it's one of my favorite quotes from Reservoir Dogs.
That's a good one.
Oh, there are just so many quotes and one-liners that make Quentin Tarantino movies perfect. And I think that's the biggest appeal to me, is just the dialogue that is so heavily flows from that normal conversation. But at the same time, you know that you're getting something awesomely unique that you can't find anywhere else. But what is it that makes Quentin Tarantino movies stand out for you, Vivek?
Well, I was actually going to mention the dialogue. It's all really natural and casual. So I really like that. It's really witty and sharp. Usually his cinematography and camera direction is really good. I like the shots he uses, like the long shot and the trunk shot that he's really known for. How about you, Shane?
How about me? Well, I mean, seemingly the guy uses like the most mundane situations and has these interesting and complex characters, which makes it all the better, especially when you have like Vincent Vega and, what is Samuel Jackson's character?
Jules.
I mean, literally they're talking for like, right before they're going to go kill these guys, about whether or not, you know, touching a woman's feet, if she's in a relationship, is just crossing the line. He's like, eating ain't cheating, but touching a foot, I mean, there's intimacy. But he says something. He says, like, there's that unspoken just bond. I mean, you know. And that's, like, Tarantino is, like, showing you, like, a conversation you've probably had.
And I like that you brought up that particular conversation between John Travolta and Samuel Jackson in Pulp Fiction. If you guys haven't played this little game, it's always fun to go back into all of Quentin Tarantino's movies and find that moment where he shows that he himself is a fan of the foot fetish. And it's pretty much in everything. Now, I personally haven't been able to find one in Reservoir Dogs. I guess maybe it was just that first directorial debut or the budget didn't call for it. I'm not sure what happened, but I couldn't find it. Pulp Fiction, we've already mentioned it, that you can't touch Mia Wallace's foot without expecting some kind of repercussions. Do you guys remember what it was in Jackie Brown by chance?
Jackie Brown, no.
Oh, no, it's been ages since I've seen that.
Well, there's a real big close-up of Bridget Fonda's toe ring.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, once you think about it, it's really hard to miss. And then in Kill Bill,
I wiggle your left, your big toe. I mean, that's one of the most uncomfortable scenes ever. It's like, alrighty, just wiggle it, man. Get it off my big screen Blu-ray. I can't stare at this toe anymore.
Oh, boy. And there's a whole intro in Death Proof that's pretty much just, I think it's Rosario Dawson's foot.
Sorry to block you there.
No, not a problem. In Glorious Bastards, there's the whole interrogation scene and finding the shoe that ends up leading to the big reveal that, what was that character's name?
Christoph Waltz, his character was named, was it Hans? No, it was nothing that German.
Was it Hans?
No.
I think
I was being facetious there. But Christoph Waltz totally strangles that blonde girl. And,
yeah, he was amazing, like, in that movie.
I know, he's so good. I mean, that's why he won an Oscar for it. Yeah. It was great.
Yeah. Now, Shane, I can see you cringing over there just at the talk of all these scenes and all these moments.
Oh, I mean, those are like the only scenes in any Tarantino movie where I will like look away. I mean, feet is like the antithesis of my like interest in being. I mean, I could go for some good gams or, you know, nice fingers, you know, appendages, whatever, but feet is just like come on, dude. There's a reason we wear socks.
That is so funny. As a kid, I had like the exact opposite of what a foot fetish would be. Anything that had to do with feet turned me away from it. Like, yeah, I agree.
So how do you take it as a fan of these films, sitting down and watching
and
these scenes?
Having to see feet.
I don't know. You ever seen that movie Happy Feet? I mean, come on. There ain't nothing happy about it.
Well, that's like a snuff film right there. Come on. Happy Feet.
There's just a bunch of sick people in the world trying to
convey, us to watch pain
indoctrinate the children.
Listen, Elijah Wood, I don't care what you masquerade around as. I don't want to see your feet, whether they're animated or not.
Was that him? Oh, Hobbit? Are we talking about hobbits?
Or no.
Elijah
was
he
Wood
the penguin?
The penguin, yeah.
Oh, really? Because in Lord of the Rings, his hobbit feet were just like...
I know.
Even more exacerbating my hate for this. Look at all the hairs and... Oh, my... Elijah Wood, you are a sick man.
Oh, boy. Well, now we've gotten that all out of the way.
Now that we're done with the foot talk.
Because it's just not a Quentin Tarantino movie without them. But also, the dialogue is one of those things that just really makes that movie his own particular niche. And it puts that final stamp on it that says, yeah, this is a Quentin Tarantino movie. Have you guys ever ran into a particular flick of his that you weren't too fond of?
Well, I haven't seen any of the stuff that he's only written. Like True Romance, I never got around to seeing it. But as far as the movies that he's like directed and written, I think I've liked all of them. I mean, there aren't too many out there. There's like Death Proof, The Two Kill Bills, Jackie Brown, Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, and The Inglourious Bastards.
Wasn't it The Four Rooms as well as some movie?
He has a piece in that. He directs.
Oh, okay. See,
I've
only seen The Kill Bills, Pulp Fiction, and Inglourious Bastards and Reservoir Dogs, which are like those monumental flicks.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't tell you about Jackie Brown. It's sitting on my instant queue. I'm like, oh, Tarantino. But Tarantino's like a person like, I have to hear such wonderful things to watch it because all his movies, I already heard such wonderful things. I don't want to watch one of his mediocre ones. I just have such high expectations. I'm just waiting for the next big one. You know, Kill Bill 3, apparently, with the I forget, the little black child's coming back for revenge.
Yeah.
And it should be interesting.
I think I saw the date for that as 2013 or...
Oh, nice.
Or
something like that. It's like those are one of the big ones. Like I never saw Death Proof or the one he did with... what's that guy's name? Rodriguez?
Sin City.
Yeah.
Well, he directs a piece in Sin City.
Does he direct a piece in Sin City? That was awesome. That was great.
I love Sin City. That's
what did he direct?
He directed the part where Clive Owen is driving with the body of...
Benicio del Toro.
Benicio del Toro.
And his head's like almost
off.
He's
a cop. Oh, Murphy girl, whatever your first name is. Luann in King of the Hill. That was like the only good line she ever said.
Oh, and a moment of silence for Brittany Murphy, because she's not here with us anymore.
That's true.
I miss Luann. And the Manger Babies.
Yes.
If you do watch King of the Hill, which I'm referencing. Whoa!
Oh, I know where you're coming from. But when it comes to a movie of Quentin Tarantino's that I didn't really find to float my particular fancy, I got to say Death Proof was a little unique to me.
Well,
especially in watching The Grindhouse. You're watching something, first off... Planet Terror by Robert Rodriguez pretty pumped me up. It got me into that mentality that we're going to watch some over-the-top, ridiculous action. And then you have these great trailers that really just psych me up. I mean, nowadays, some of those trailers are being made into movies. Machete already came out. Thanksgiving is in production with Eli Roth.
And Hobo with a Shotgun.
Hobo with a Shotgun, another movie for you guys to check out. If you haven't seen these trailers, do yourself a favor. Look them up on YouTube. They're pretty hilarious. But then you jump into Death Proof, and it was a real dialogue-driven film. And you know what? It just didn't do it for me, guys.
You know, the first time I saw it, I felt like that, too. Then I watched it again, and I don't know. It's getting better the more I watch it. I just kind of, like, appreciate it more. And, like, just the action, you know, because it's an actual stunt woman that's on the car doing this. So, like, that itself is pretty impressive. Like, just doing that's really dangerous stuff. So I think it was more of, like, almost like a tribute to, like, crazy over-the-top action that people actually do without CGI and without wires and everything. Like, she actually did that with the belts. I thought that was pretty cool.
I guess I got to give it another watch just to truly appreciate it, and maybe just putting it away from The Grindhouse and just...
Yeah, I agree with that, because, I mean, I watched Death Proof, like, a few months after I saw Planet Terror, and I could see how getting pumped up from Planet Terror, which was totally awesome, like, it was a total change of pace to watch Death Proof right after Planet Terror.
Yeah. Well, let's take a minute to talk about your absolute favorite Quentin Tarantino movie, if you can pick one. Let's see. Well, can you?
I know, it's a tough one. Why don't you guys start, and I'll see. Let me think about it.
Well, I guess I can take it away. I'll admit, my favorite genre of all time is the spaghetti western. And my goodness, Tarantino has tried doing that so many times where it's just amazing. And he literally said, I think it was Inglourious Basterds was his spaghetti western. And I mean, Sergio Leone is one of my favorite directors. And that movie, I haven't seen a movie since that was just like watching an Italian western take place in Nazi France, Germany, you know, invaded, whatever. And it was just the most amazing movie. Like, Pulp Fiction's great. There's the only thing that kills Pulp Fiction for me is that one scene where he accidentally blows that kid's brains in the back and they have Eli Roth coming as the wolf. It's not Eli Roth. It's a the other character.
Harvey Keitel.
Yeah.
Dude, I love him.
Coming as the wolf. And it's like,
it's awesome.
It was so slow to me, that whole scene.
Really?
And then she, with the banana slug shirt, too. That was kind of funny. Yeah. But I mean, Inglourious Basterds didn't have any scenes for me that dragged on. Of course, sometimes when it went to the woman who owned the theater in the France, it was kind of, you know, the same thing. I was like, okay, this is dragging a bit. Where's my Brad Pitt scenes? Where's my Christoph Waltz scenes, you know? And Inglourious Basterds really is like one of the best movies of all times. Like the scene where the bear dude comes out with the bat right beforehand, they have the whole Spanish guitar, and you know, he's just staring at this Nazi and Brad Pitt with, oh my, like, come on, who else can do that? Nobody. That's amazing.
I gotta agree with you. And we've touched on the subject of some of the violence in these movies. Now, without a doubt, there's been pretty grotesque torture scenes. There's been a lot of foot scenes, but we've been there. We've done that. We've tread that ground. Let's move forward. Is there ever a moment in watching these flicks where the violence was just too much and you just had to turn eye from it?
No, not really.
No, not really. I mean,
there's not enough.
I need more. You know, it's how to describe it. The violence in his movies, though, it doesn't seem over the top. It, like, to me, it was almost like this is what it looks like when you shoot a guy. You know, I was watching Pan's Labyrinth, which is a great film, but there's a scene where he's walking up the hill and the fascist guy is shooting people, and they just fall. And it's like, okay, this movie's fantastic, but why doesn't it look like that's what I imagine when I see a guy get shot? Quentin Tarantino, it's like, a guy gets shot, his body is going to flip. You know, it's going to go sciatic. And it's just, I mean, that's what I like about it. It's not over the top where you see things exploding, like minds, you know, heads exploding, but it's like, okay, you shoot a guy, there goes his body, there's this blood, that's... wow, that's really it. There's not, I mean, it's just closer to reality, which makes it more engaging. You know, the more fantastical you get sometimes in violence, it's just the less you care.
You know, it's funny to me because I love these movies, and I'm at the same opinion with you guys where the violence doesn't bug me at all. But sometimes I just want to show these movies. I'm a film fanatic, and I just can't watch movies by myself. I got to have somebody with me. But there I am telling my best friend, you know, you really got to watch this movie. And she happens to be a girl, and she's not too inclined to the fancy-dancy blood and gore. And there we go, and we're watching it, and all of a sudden it's like, nah, I'm done. All right, later, Noel.
You need to break up with her. I'm kidding, unless she's your amazing girlfriend, which bought you Venture Brothers. But, yeah, I think I took my one of my girlfriend. I mean, not one of. A girlfriend. I don't know what you're talking about.
Watch it.
I got them to watch Inglourious Basterds with me, and she loved it. She thought, I mean, the acting was great. You know, the settings were so real. The only part in Inglourious Basterds which was weird was the CGI cows outside of the milk farm. They were CGI. And I was like,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're CGI. I will bet my life on that. You look at the milk farm at the beginning of the movie, there's some cows there, and they just... you know, they're like the deer in No Country for Old Men. It's like, just get some real deer. I'm sure it doesn't cost anything. This one bit of CGI in this whole movie is just like, what? I don't get it. But, I mean, you know, she didn't even once, like, say it was too violent. She didn't once say it. I mean, she enjoyed it, you know? She's like, that's what it was. That's what it was like, you know?
Yeah.
He's also good, as far as the torture scenes go, you know, the iconic scene in Reservoir Dogs when Michael Madsen's character
is
cutting off the ear. Exactly. I love the fact that he actually pulls the camera away from and you can only hear what's going on with Stuck in the Middle.
Yeah, and sometimes it's not what you do show, but it's what you don't
exactly.
show.
Exactly. It really has a great effect how the camera just slowly pans away while he's doing it, then it comes back to like show the aftermath of what happened.
I think the first time that I noticed a particular film that was showing this grotesque moment but not really showing you at all and just you create the idea in your head was Brian De Palma's Scarface. Mm-hmm. And you got a man being chained up in a bathroom.
It's a chainsaw, right?
Yeah. Being ripped to shreds by a chainsaw. And you have that slow pan out of it. You see the curtains and the splash of blood. And it's enough in your head to make you cringe.
Oh, yeah.
But you never see it. And it's amazing that Quentin Tarantino can do that with Reservoir Dogs, with that infamous torture scene. And you feel that pain and you think,
it's great when any kind of filmmaker could set the mood and the atmosphere where they don't really even have to do much. Like when when it comes from the viewer, I feel like it has a much bigger effect because it's coming from your head. You're creating the scene in your head.
Yeah, they're not, you know, rubbing your nose in it. Look at this. Look at this. It's like, no, I don't want you to see this. Like, but you can imagine
what's going on.
You know what's going on. You and I, come on. Come on.
But then again, sometimes it's in your face and you got somebody's brains in the back seat of your car.
I think,
that's true.
Yeah, in Hugo Stitz in Inglourious Bastards, which showing why he was, you know, called the Nazi killer, all the scenes where he's just like, he shoves his hand in the mouth. I mean, there it's like, okay, now it's in your face
again.
That
whole montage, I love it.
Hugo Stitz, you know, it was one of the, that's like, I love that scene, not only because Samuel Jackson is narrating it. He's like, out of left field, here's a black guy. It's so great. And then you have like this guy just killing all these people. And it's like there it is again. You know, Reservoir Dogs wasn't as like silly. Inglourious Bastards, like people can sometimes describe it silly. I mean, look at the ending.
Oh yeah.
I mean, best twist ever. You know, like my friend's like, oh, I'm gonna go see Valkyrie. I'm like, oh, spoiler alert, he doesn't die. But Inglourious Bastards, you know, wait, well, you never know.
Oh man. Now, can you guys take a moment to think of a favorite scene from these movies? It gets tough to pick one. I know. Well, for me, Reservoir Dogs, that beginning intro scene, you have everybody having breakfast, and they're talking about tipping waitresses. It's pretty classic to me, because at that point, you really have no idea what that movie's going to build up to. You just have a couple of guys hanging out, and it seems fun. It seems cool. They're talking about some really funny things. And then all of a sudden, you just got a bank heist going on. You got guys being tortured. You just, wow. To me, it just came out of nowhere, right? Do you guys have that particular moment where you were just really wowed by a scene?
I don't know. As far as dialogue goes, see, I really like all the dialogue in Pulp Fiction, like between Vincent Vega and Jules.
Oh, yeah.
John Travolta and Samuel Jackson. Like, Royale with cheese, all that.
Le Big Mac.
Exactly.
Like, I think, easily. It's, like, one of the best things. It's, like, he starts up all his movies in this way where it's, like, oh, here's the simple, and you know, here's what you and your friend probably look like going up an elevator, but here's what you guys look like when you're going to kill someone, too. But it's funny because killers are still people, and Quentin Tarantino totally gives you that, because a lot of these movies that come out make the mistake of making their killers so cold or making all their characters so one-dimensional. Here's a real guy, but his job is, you know, he's an assassin, but he still likes hamburgers. He still loves his car, and some, you know, a-hole scratches it with a key as soon as he gets back. You know, it's just, these are real guys with their real problems, and that's so, you can connect to that. You're just not, you know, going to kill someone.
Oh, speaking of favorite scene, I'd say at the end of that, you know, when he has to give Uma Thurman the adrenaline shot.
Yes.
And then Eric Stoltz is trying to describe to him, and he's all like, so you gotta pierce hard, and he does emotional three times. I'm gonna hit her three times. Like, no, don't hit her three times. Like, there's the whole chaos of that scene. It's like, it's funny, but it's such a serious situation, like you were saying. Like,
yeah, it's like
this woman is overdosing.
She's dying. But
heroin that she inhaled, and like, there's still like, just like if anybody else, if we were trying to fix that situation, like
it's exactly what it's like. Just people, they're three dimensional. This is them in a real world, and that's what's so great.
I gotta agree with you, man. I just love that every one of his movies takes that opportunity to create those scenarios where you feel like, yeah, I've been in that. And then you stop and think about it. No, you know what? I've never had a friend overdose and had to shoot him with an adrenaline shot.
But I could imagine that's
exactly
what it'd be
but
like.
That's what
it's
I
like,
gotta do.
I always tell people the best zombie movie of all time is Shaun of the Dead, because that's what it would be like if we were together. I mean, yeah, zombies, but we'd still laugh. We'd go, you know, we'd find humor in everything. A lot of these movies don't find humor in anything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, even 28 Days Later, the first thing the guy says when he pulls him in, a guy walks into a bar with a drought. He just tells him to joke to see if he has any humor left in him, you know, because that's what you need when you're going around killing zombies, a funny guy to lighten the mood. Otherwise, it's just depressing.
It's true. No, Shaun of the Dead is one of my favorite films. Like,
I know, right? It's so good.
So now we've mentioned Scott Pilgrim, an Edgar Wright film. We got Shaun of the Dead up in the air right now, another Edgar Wright film. Let's just mention Hot Fuzz,
just so
that we have the whole trio there.
That's amazing.
That's a great one.
I thought that it was just amazing to see this collection of montage or action shots just pretty much mimic step by step the famous like Point Break scene.
Yes.
Just shooting three times in the air. No!
While screaming.
That was my first.
Oh, man.
That probably makes me a really happy person, and that director exists.
Edgar Wright, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that he's got one more shot with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost.
Well, it's the Blood and Ice Cream trilogy, isn't that what it's called? They were looking for one more. Simon Pegg and Nick Frost just did the Paul with...
I didn't see that.
God awful Seth Rogen, who I love, but I mean he's the same character.
I love him. He plays himself, definitely.
But like the first six movies were amazing, but then like the last ones were just like fell in the funny people. Oh, don't even. I walked. That was the only movie in my entire life. Well, and Mr. 3000 with Bernie Mac, one of the greatest movies of all time. But I walked out of Funny People because someone's like, it's not supposed to be funny. I'm like, yeah, but I can't even connect to these characters because they're all so whiny. I just don't like them.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I started watching. I didn't finish it. It's I just went like halfway through.
All right. So is that the movie not to watch?
Oh gosh, don't watch Funny People. If you do and you enjoyed it, please change the channel. We're not on the same page here. This is called Film Fanatics, not, you know, bad things gone terribly wrong.
Bad things usually do go terribly wrong.
Well, I was reading up just this morning that Quentin Tarantino has the idea of making another spaghetti western flick.
Oh, please do it. I mean, Good, the Bad, the Ugly, Fistful of Dollars. I mean, Duck, You Sucker, Once Upon a Time in the West is like the greatest. I mean, Sergio Leone picked Henry Fonda as a bad guy. I mean, who could Quentin Tarantino possibly pick? I mean, do a spaghetti western and make it so not obvious at the same time. Just do it. Be the most amazing thing ever, and I will literally cry.
Speaking of regular westerns, are you guys looking forward to Cowboys and Aliens at all?
I mean, take it away, Shane. Harrison Ford, great Blade Runner,
Craig.
Love it. Daniel Craig, that guy from Defiance.
He was James Bond.
I never really saw those.
He was more of the caveman James Bond.
Yeah, the only great James Bond I love.
I liked Daniel Craig.
Roger Moore. Greatest James Bond ever.
Sean Connery, man.
Yeah, a woman needs a good slapping every now and then.
Exactly.
But Roger Moore is the sexiest man alive in the 60s and 70s. I mean, come on. He is so hot. And then who was the guy? Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah, he was pretty big for a while.
Guy looks weird. I don't know. I just can't enjoy it.
GoldenEye was a great movie, though.
Is that the one with Halle Berry?
No, that was the Die Another Day. That was his last one. GoldenEye was the first Pierce Brosnan film.
She's hot.
Alan Cumming.
But, you know, just I can't stand these new James. The earlier ones is when it was just so much better because in the 60s, these inventions meant something. Oh, now, it's like, hey, my kid can buy that off eBay. You know?
Yeah, that's true. The big thing was the gadgets, yeah.
Yeah, and it's funny to see those particular franchises come and go, and I don't think James Bond is done just yet, but... I'm optimistic for Quentin Tarantino's new spaghetti western. I haven't heard too much about it. It's just something that was up on a blog site. I was like, hey, it's coming out. No title, no actors, but it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
He always has like so many ideas that he throws out there.
He's the kind of guy that would just get a plate of spaghetti and put it in the desert and take a picture of it. Here it is, spaghetti western. Yeah, he's that big of an a-hole. I love that man.
He's a quirky guy.
You know, also when I was just... messing around on the internet, I came across Quentin Tarantino's first film, something before Reservoir Dogs. It was made back in 1987, and it's a short, and it's My Best Friend's Birthday. And I didn't get a chance to watch too much of it because it's 1 a.m, and I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I should get to sleep. But the first couple of minutes, right away, it's a Quentin Tarantino movie. Obviously, he's in it. So that gives it away right away. But the dialogue that's going on,
nice. He's
talking about being a 3-year-old and thinking about committing suicide. And just one of those things where you think to yourself, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Wait a minute. No, that never happened to me.
That's very strange.
That's an interesting concept.
I'll have to watch that and then come back and commentate on it.
Exactly.
Hey, it's up there on YouTube. And apparently it wasn't there for a while, but now it is. So everyone, if you're a fan of Quentin Tarantino, might as well check it out. Like I said, I personally haven't had the opportunity to fully invest myself into it, but we'll make sure to do it. We'll do a little segment on it next week when we're in here. But when it just comes down to it, we all agree Quentin Tarantino is just a fabulous filmmaker. Anything that you want to just wrap up, like why you love this guy, Vivek?
It's just like the movies, they kind of speak for themselves. Although, I was going to ask you guys what you guys thought. I mean, I don't know, wrapping up, but just, you know, he's always getting a lot of flack for all these homages, quote unquote. And a lot of people would say he's just ripping off other movies, like shot for shot. Not shot for shot, but he uses a lot of shots used in all the movies that he likes.
Shoot, I don't know if he's just trying to emulate or copy. That's all on him. You know, anything that has ever been done once has been done twice.
That's true. And when you think of the art world, imitation is the most sincerest form of flattery.
That's true.
So I'm all right with it. I really have no problem with an artist says, you know what, I just love that so much that I'm going to pretty much mimic it and do it in my own thing. But without a doubt, you have that particular spin on it in those films by Tarantino.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, I was watching Stephen Colbert, and he was talking to this artist who pretty much said any time a person creates a piece of art, he's allowed to take it for his own. So the guy, Stephen Colbert, took the book and signed his name and said, it's mine. It's my art now. This is not artistic socialism. There's a difference between creating and then just annexing. And when you're annexing someone else's art, you're just claiming it as your own. You know, it's like war. You claim a piece of land, you annex it, it becomes you. But if you were creating through something you've learned before, that's like an Ouroboros. It's like a snake eating itself. It's about recreation, and that's what art is. It's just constantly creating itself.
Art. I feel
well said.
I feel like the intellect
and
just
hot
got
girls.
Raised.
I love hot girls. I'm just going to say, I don't really talk about art. I got to balance this, you know, yin and yang, dude.
True.
The foci, come on.
Oh, well, thank you for that, because I was just feeling the intellect level just raised too much. And,
a little too high
brought
for
us,
the show.
How to bring it back down. Go on.
No, by all means.
Real quick, did anyone see Sucker Punch?
Not yet.
Did I talk
I've
about this last week?
I've heard bad things.
We talked about
it.
Oh,
I did?
But not on the show. So if you want to go ahead and throw it out there, go for it.
Funny people and Sucker Punch. Don't. Please.
Yeah, I heard Sucker Punch was bad.
It was so good it was bad. I mean, how to say, there's like one good scene in like World War I Normandy with like steampunk robots and not like zombie Nazis, just zombie Germans before the National Socialist Party. You know,
Germans
at least they have an ether.
Causing a ruckus.
Germans. I love the Germans. My last name's German. What can I do?
One of my good friends is German. And I tell him,
my friend was telling me about this comedian who this guy goes around pretending to be a German tourist named Hans. And he has like flip flops and a guitar and he just sings to people randomly. But yeah, don't see that, Noel.
All right. Well, there we go. Some more films not to see this week. Now, I personally got a chance to watch Insidious this weekend. And I got to say, it was pretty entertaining. As far as horror movies go in springtime, I don't know how I'd feel about it. Yeah, I'm going to admit, I laughed.
Horror in the springtime.
Yeah, that's exactly when you want to see it. But I think it did a good job of recalling a lot of the tension that you feel in a lot of these old school horror movies by having a good soundtrack and just utilizing sound really well. And it didn't have those cheap scares where it's like, oh, something creepy is going to happen. Oh, look, it's a cat. Oh, no, just kidding.
Yeah.
It's what behind
cheap thrills,
the cat.
Cheap thrills, you know?
Exactly. So if you got a chance and you're looking for something to watch, I recommend it. And, well, folks, sadly it's coming to that time when we just have to say it's been a good ride, but we got to part our ways. So I want to thank, once again, Shane for coming into the studio. It's a pleasure having you.
Of course, and as the words of Christoph Waltz, A vida se, mon chéri.
And Vivek, thank you for coming in the studio. I hope you liked it.
And in the words of me, peace out, yo.
Oh, boy. Well, folks, in the end, when it comes down to it, I'm only a man in a room speaking to himself. So don't leave me hanging. Reach out to me. Chat with me. Find me on Facebook or send me an email down at nvargas, V-A-R-G-A-S, @kpcr@gmail.com. Send all your questions, comments, or suggestions, and be sure to tune in next week for another session of Film Fanatics. Until then, amigos, the love you make is equal to the love you take. Amor y paz. Adios.